This reading is from 1 John, chapter 4, and it starts at verse 7. Loving one another. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God shows how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we may have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love.
Okay, we're going to throw some more around. Sam, you ready? Good start. Let's have it back. Mike. Pretty good. Ah. Let's have it back. Oh, that was good. That's my injured hand. How about that? I'm very impressed with that. Tim. That's good. We used to play a game when I was at school that was called Broken Bottles. Here it comes. And with this game, if you dropped it, you had to go down on one knee. Let's have the ball. So somebody needs to go down on one knee over there. Okay, and then if you dropped it a second time, you'd have to go down on two knees. And then if you dropped it a third time, you had to put one hand behind your back. Has anybody ever played that game? It is very old. Excuse me. You dropped it. You're down on one knee. Oh, sorry, same here. Okay, that's called Broken Bottles. And then if you dropped it again, you had to have two hands behind your back and had to catch it with your mouth. How about that? That's pretty good. Anybody remember a school game in the playground they used to play a long time ago? Brendan, this is coming to you. Anybody else remember a game? Bull Rush. What did you do with Bull Rush?
You'd run across the length of the field and you basically get tackled by the person.
Yeah, we used to call that Bulldog. That's right. Bulldog. Any other games? Who used to play marbles? Marbles? We used to, in our school playground, you had to line up everybody, lined up one side and the other, lined up the other, and we played marbles. Who played Conkers? Conkers, yeah. Who played hopscotch? I thought this was going to be a hopscotch game here. But my favorite was broken bottles. So I really liked throwing a ball. Here it comes, Isaac. Here goes the technique. One hand behind your back. Thank you. Yeah, broken bottles. There was somebody I knew, though, who couldn't catch. He couldn't catch because he couldn't feel with his hands. Nothing. So each time somebody would throw, there was no feeling at all, and so he couldn't catch it. That's because he had a particular thing that was happening to his body that he couldn't do anything about. It's called leprosy. And leprosy affects your skin and affects your nerves so that you can put your hand on a hot oven and not feel it. And what would happen then? Your hand would burn. Or you could cut yourself and not feel it. And you could bleed and not realize. All those things he had. And because of that, people didn't want to play with him. So he really wanted to play with other kids. But they would say, no, we don't want to. And that's because they were afraid of him, because they thought there was something wrong with him. And because of that, they kept away. So he'd say, can I come round to your house? And or can you come to my house? And they would say, no, we don't want to. And sometimes he'd ask for help, and he'd say, can you help me? And because they thought that he'd done something wrong, that's why he had it, they would say, no, we don't want to. And so he felt very alone. He felt very lonely, and he didn't know what to do. And then one day, he heard that Jesus was coming to town. And they'd heard all kinds of things about Jesus, because he heard this story about a man who'd been lowered down through a roof, and he hadn't been able to walk or move his arms or legs, and Jesus made him well, and he walked out, carried his bed. He heard about somebody who'd been blind and couldn't see, and Jesus had healed him. He heard that lots of children could play around him, and he welcomed them. He heard one time about a woman who had had such a rough life, who didn't feel like she was loved, and he loved and made her feel like she had a friend. So he thought maybe Jesus could make him better. But the big question was, would Jesus want to? He didn't feel very important, and he didn't feel like he was cool. Nobody wanted to play with him. He didn't feel like there was anything good about him. So maybe Jesus wouldn't want to. And then he heard Jesus was coming to town, and he knew there was a place, a street, that Jesus was going to walk down. And he knew on that street there were some trees and bushes, and there was a ditch by the side of the road. And he thought if he got there early enough, he could hide in the ditch under the bushes. And when Jesus went by, he could perhaps jump out and speak to Jesus about it. But it was really risky. And the reason why it was risky was this, because if you had leprosy and you jumped into the crowd, everybody would turn around and find a stone or a rock to throw at you because they didn't want you to come near them. So they would have thrown, and that would have been dangerous for him. So he was really scared about this, but he still wanted to see Jesus because he heard there was so much about Jesus that was wonderful. So he planned it very carefully. That morning, he got up really early and hid in the ditch under the bushes. And then he waited. And then he waited. And then he waited. And it didn't seem like anybody was coming, and it didn't seem like even Jesus was coming. But then he heard something that made him realize that Jesus was coming. It was the sound of children. The children were laughing and playing. And it was like a crowd coming down the streets. And he knew if there's a crowd coming and the children are playing and they're happy, then probably Jesus was in the middle of the crowd. So he watched as closely as he possibly could through the hedge to see what was happening. And first he saw the children coming. And then he saw some people coming, and they were laughing and talking. And then the crowd got bigger. And then he could see right in the middle of the crowd, there was what he guessed must have been Jesus. So he waited and waited until just the right moment. And then when Jesus was on the middle of the path, right in front of him, he jumped out of the bushes and he ran as fast as he could, dust flying all over the place, threw himself down in the middle of the crowd, and then the whole crowd turned, saw him, and they all picked up stones and they went to throw their stones. But no one threw anything because he was right at the feet of Jesus. And when the dust settled, he was looking down. He could see these 2 feet. And he lifted up his head and he looked up. And he saw this face. And the eyes. There was something about those eyes. Searching. And then he smiled. And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, if you want to, you can make me well." And Jesus reached his hand down and took his leprous hand and lifted him up. And he said, "Oh, I want to." And he still doesn't know what it was that made him feel so good. Whether it was him saying, "I want to," or the fact that he touched his leprous hand, or whether it was the flow of healing that went through his body and his leprosy fell away. But he knew he was well. And Jesus started to laugh. And he started to laugh. And he looked around and all the people started to laugh. And they dropped their stones. And he stood back and he said, "Does anybody want to play catch?" Jesus, I thank you that no one is too far gone. No one is too unlovely. No one is too uncool. No one is too unimportant for you to want to share your love with us. Amen.